Let's see how this works, this other microphone. Thanks, Patrick, for playing my favorite Advent song this morning coming in. Well, good morning, everyone. Rejoice. Today is Gaudete Sunday, and Gaudete means rejoice. As I was thinking about rejoicing, I recalled a video taken by my sister-in-law when she visited Africa many years ago. As a first grade teacher, she knew that many remote schools there had very little. So she packed an entire suitcase with school supplies, pencils, paper, crayons, scissors, and a few books. Anyway, the video was of the school children in a big circle out in the schoolyard. It was a dry, dusty, dirt schoolyard, and they were singing and dancing together. At one point, one of the dancers would move to the middle of the circle to demonstrate their skills. Others would take turns doing that, and it went on for 10 to 15 beautiful minutes. I was impressed at the joy that they had in the midst of all their many needs. So what was their secret to joy? Was it simply to thank someone had it brought them something? Was it true gratitude that for what they already had? Water, a school, and each other. The church calls us to rejoice in anticipation of the coming of Jesus at Christmas. Why? This will be my 70th Christmas coming up here. So why do we do the same readings? Why do we celebrate Jesus coming again? He's already been here because we're not ready yet. He's not done with us. We're still learning how to love unconditionally. This short life on earth is a journey to God, to eternal life. For me, it's like a mountain, those beautiful mountains that we have here in Colorado with the trails that are circling the mountain and the trails getting progressively closer and closer to the top, getting steeper as we get closer to the peak. We are on one of these many trails striving for the peak, which is union with God, sometimes moving forward, sometimes resting on a rock, and sometimes moving backward. But hopefully, overall, moving forward towards God and His love. We need to be reminded, to remind ourselves, to reflect on the journey, and especially what God has done for us like never before in history, that God sent His Son, Jesus. And we hear the words like Savior and Wonder Counselor, and we think of a cute little baby in a manger. But the name Savior means that we needed saving. We still need to be saved. And we are still in need to be rescued from the power of darkness in this world, the power of Satan. And so we should rejoice that Jesus is still present in our world, still fighting for us, and still desiring to share His divine life with us. So what if we don't feel like rejoicing? Holidays can become very stressful. There are so many things to get done, Christmas parties and decorating and shopping, and there are children's Christmas programs to go to, though it's kind of sad that they are called holiday or winter programs these days. Joy is not something that we can make ourselves have. We cannot force it. We cannot just fake it till we make it. But there's easier ways to get joy. So I went to the catechism, and there was a whole list in the back, sources of joy. And the first one is, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. When we seek the Lord, we are making a statement, a statement of belief, a statement of purpose. And even when we don't see Him or His work clearly in our lives, our hearts can rejoice in the search. The search for the divine. The second one, faith, to taste in advance the light of the beatific vision that we will enjoy. Faith is tricky and easy at the same time. It is tricky because we don't always see, hear, or touch an exact thing, a physical thing. But it's simple because when we believe in God and His love for us, then we can imagine how beautiful his plans are for us and our ultimate goal, heaven. The next one is that the Creator is the source of wisdom and freedom, joy and confidence. Creation around us is so magnificent and ordered that it gives us confidence in the plan that he has for each one of us. The next one is self-discipline and mortification of bodily desires, the ability to live the Beatitudes. These are ways that we can order our own words and actions in this life so that we can align our life with God's plan for us, and this can bring us happiness and joy. Marriage. Marriage is a very special sacrament. It teaches us and gives us practice in two really important things: unconditional love and total giving of ourselves to another, for our spouses, for our children. And when we understand unconditional love, we can understand God's unconditional love for us. And both of these are meant to bring us joy. Finally, it said, the fruits of charity are joy, peace, and mercy. This is exactly what we've been talking about in these series of homilies, how the Eucharist is a sacrament of charity, that there are obstacles to charity, how the Holy Spirit strengthens and guides us toward charity, and today, how charity moves us. Charity should move us to joy and peace and mercy. The first one, joy, and if we heard the opening prayer today that Father read, O God, who see how your people faithfully await the feast of the Lord's Nativity, enable us, we pray, to attain the joys of so great a salvation and to celebrate them always with solemn worship and great rejoicing. Here again we see the reference to faith, the reference to seeking or awaiting the Lord and the mission of salvation, why Jesus came. St. Augustine says it this way, love is itself the fulfillment of all our works. There is the goal. That is why we run. We run toward it. And once we reach it, we shall find rest. Why do we find rest? Because we have found God. We have found joy. So how about peace? Well, there's peace with God and there's peace with others, and Jesus is the source of both. In our relationship with God, peace comes from trusting that God has a plan for us. That is why we've talked so much about created, captured, rescued, and response this past year, that Jesus was sent to rescue us and restore us. And it's an important story, and we are in the midst of it, each one of us. It's a story, a love story, deeper than any human love. And the world around us is pretty messed up, and sometimes we wonder if God is doing anything about it. Jesus has a plan for the world. He is in charge. And oh, by the way, he's not nervous. Think about that. He's not nervous, so we don't need to be nervous. We don't need to worry so much. And when we pray, are we willing to surrender the outcome of our prayers to him, to the one who has the plan, to the one who is in charge? God wants what's best for us in this life and in eternal life. In our relationship with others, peace comes in trusting that God has a love and a plan for everyone else as well. And that plan may not be visible to us right now. Others may not even realize that God has a plan for them. But we are called to treat them like friends, children of God, even if we don't know what their plan is. The second reading talks about patience. You can read my reflection in the bulletin on patience with others. But patience is made possible by peace, and peace comes from trust. Trust in the Lord's plan for our lives and the lives of others. And peace doesn't mean the absence of problems or trials. It means trust in God's plan to help us through those problems and trials. Finally, there's mercy. In the gospel today, Jesus is telling John the Baptist, and he says to his followers who have come to Jesus, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." Jesus brought all these works of mercy to earth for us as well, so that we know that Jesus will help us when we are spiritually blind, that when we are stuck, he will free us, that the sores on our soul can be healed and cleansed. When it seems that God is far off, that we may hear his voice again. And when this earthly life is over, that we may live forever. And that God will never, ever give up on us. And when we experience the mercy of God in one of these ways, we will offer it to others. So how do we get more joy, peace, and mercy? As we said before, it cannot be forced, but we can ask for it. We can ask for an increase in charity from which joy and peace and mercy flow. We can acknowledge the nudges of the Holy Spirit in our lives to practice these virtues, and we can partake in the Eucharist. It is the true presence of Christ within us. It is the source and summit of deep charity from Christ. It is the total giving of Jesus himself to us, the most intimate and personal gift to you and to me. And when we leave here, we will want to share his grace and charity with others. All of this is good, good news, joyful news. When our hope for the coming of Jesus is done with charity, we are moved to joy, peace, and mercy. We rise towards the top of the mountain. We grow closer to God. And in growing closer to God, we grow in trust and confidence in his plan for us. Trust, too, that we may present all our needs to him. And confidence, joy, and peace that he can and will give us what we need. Amen.